Municipal broadband is often a popular investment politically, but the actual benefits to citizens are often mediocre.
Hi, I'm Jim Doyle, President of Business Forward, and you're listening to the Business Forward podcast. Business Forward helps local business leaders fix Washington by bringing Washington to them. Subscribe to our podcast to hear conversations with policy experts, elected officials, and business leaders about important issues like climate action and affordable healthcare.
In this episode, Business Forward hosted Amy Martin, President of Tennessee Cable and Broadband Association, Tom Schatz, President of Citizens Against Government Waste, Cassandra Denton, owner of Sansational Creations, and State Representative Martin Daniels, for a roundtable moderated by Jim Doyle, President of Business Forward, on the Digital Divide and Knoxville Utility Board proposal. Panelists discussed what a government-owned network would mean for business leaders, the importance of public-private collaboration, and how business leaders can get involved. We hope you enjoy the conversation.
Good morning, I'm Jim Doyle, President of Business Forward. Thank you all for joining us today for this briefing on how to close the digital divide in Tennessee. We'll talk about why this problem matters and what Congress, the Tennessee State Legislature, and local governments are doing about it. We'll also look closely at two proposals coming before the Knoxville City Council, one from KUB and one from Comcast, one of 10 companies currently providing broadband here. Finally, we'll discuss how business leaders in Knoxville and across Tennessee can get involved. Now, some of you may have attended Business Forward roundtables or webinars or Washington fly-ins. We're proud to work with thousands of local business leaders across the state. For those of you who don't know us, Business Forward brings business leaders and policy experts and elected officials together to take a business-minded look at the issues of the day. If you're interested in doing more on the digital divide, say talking to a reporter or writing an op-ed, just let Business Forward team know, and we can provide research help, media training. You can also find background materials on the digital divide, the homework app, and broadband policy on our website, www.businessforward.org. Today, we're joined by Amy Martin, President of the Tennessee Cable and Broadband Association, Tom Schatz, President of Citizens Against Government Waste, Cassandra Denton, founder of Sansational Events and Catering, a Knoxville business, Representative Martin Daniels, a former representative of Tennessee's 18th District, who has also built and run his own business here in Tennessee for 30 years. I'll ask each of them a few questions, and we should have time at the end for a more informal discussion. Now, just to set the stage, there's broad agreement that we need to get everyone online, and broadband providers in the KUB service area have done better than most. About 205,000 of the approximately 210,000 homes and businesses here are connected to the network, about 97%. But 5,900 homes and businesses, approximately, are not. And many more families across Knoxville who could connect struggle to afford broadband service, purchase a computer, and take advantage of everything our growing broadband economy offers. Amy, would you please tell us about the options on the table here in Knoxville?
Yes, Jim, thank you. Thank you for having me here today. First, I just want to introduce myself real quick. I'm with the Tennessee Cable and Broadband Association. We represent the cable companies in Tennessee. Cable is committed to Tennessee. We have nearly 5,000 direct employees in the state and about 41,000 indirect employees. And in the last 10 years, the cable industry's invested about $2.4 billion in the state of Tennessee, which just shows our commitment to connecting people and connecting Tennesseans. And I'm on the Zoom call today to talk about the KUB project and as well as the Comcast alternative that's on the table. Tomorrow, on the 29th, the City Council in Knoxville is looking to potentially vote on the KUB project. And I think the question that we would like to pose to the council and to just citizens in general is, what's the best way to get broadband to the unserved areas in Knox County and surrounding counties in the most cost-effective and timely way? If you look at the KUB project, their project, depending on what number you look at, is somewhere between $450 million to $700 million. And if you just take the low end, let's say 450, compare that to the Comcast proposal, Comcast proposal is significantly less expensive. It's about around $22 million. And not only is it significantly less expensive, but it's much more timely. KUB is looking at somewhere, you know, 7+ years to build out throughout their footprint. And the Comcast proposal will be a 24-month time frame. So not only would the Comcast proposal be quicker and it would be, you know, less expensive. And when you're looking at potentially putting such risk on the ratepayers of KUB, you know, does that make sense? And especially in such a competitive marketplace. Cable's committed to Knoxville. That's evident by our network and how we serve our customers in Knoxville. But it's just not cable. You have other broadband providers, private providers that are in Knoxville. You have, I think, nearly 10 broadband providers in Knoxville, multiple ones, at least three offer gig service. So Knoxville is competitive. 98%, I think you mentioned that in your comments already, that 98% of Knox County has coverage. And is it the wisest decision in such a competitive marketplace to allow a government entity like KUB to get in to compete with private providers where there's only, you know, less than 3% of unserved in that area?
It might be helpful to people watching to explain to us, KUB is a public utility. If you just sort of explain what that means for both broadband in general and the companies competing, the private sector competing.
KUB is a government entity. It's a municipality-owned entity. And by getting to the broadband business, I mean, they've already stated that it would require rate increases, at least, I think, 3% per year for the next 3 years. So you're looking at least a 9% rate increase. And, you know, that's on the backs of the ratepayers. And when you have private entities that have stepped up and are willing to step up even more so, you know, is that the best policy decision for KUB and for the city council to make? And we, you know, we're asking to at least to put a pause on the vote and look more into other options like the Comcast option.
And just to highlight that last point, the idea here is not that we need to object to the plan out of hand. It's there are a lot of questions that need to be answered. Yeah. The first question is, can we spend more time on this? And then the question is, should we do it?
Yes. Yeah, that's exactly right. And then, you know, how are they going to serve the low income community in Knox County and their surrounding counties? I mean, Comcast has Internet Essentials, which is a program that's $9.99 a month that they offer. And I mean, I think there's, I don't know, about maybe 50,000 customers that's engaged with Internet Essentials in Knox County. But I think KUB is still trying to figure out how do they do that. Well, Comcast has an effective and impactful program already in place. I mean, just real quick, just big picture, Comcast has provided, I think, Internet Essentials to over 10 million Americans in the last 10 years. And the company has already made a commitment just recently, committed $1 billion to connect another 50 million Americans in the next 10 years. So clearly, we are committed to connecting low-income families, and that's evident, and we've been doing it for, you know, for the last decade.
We've done a lot of programming on the digital divide in the past, and that's one of the things that people just don't appreciate. They assume that if you get a connection, everything's fine. They don't understand that there's also an affordable laptop gap. There is a digital literacy gap, and there is a technical support gap. What I've seen, we've done a lot of work on the homework gap related to the pandemic, is you need school districts getting involved to help people get their laptops. You need Boys and Girls Clubs providing local training. And so the commitment to all of that in the private sector plan is there, and in our experience, very necessary. There isn't such a plan in the KUB proposal.
I haven't seen one, if so. I think that's a question that city council needs to ask, as well as, you know, citizens need to ask. And that needs to be answered before they move forward. And I would just say with Comcast real quick, I believe they've got partnerships with the Boys and Girls Club, like you just mentioned. They work with the Urban League in Knoxville. I believe they work with the Knoxville Office of Aging and on laptop giveaways and digital literacy programs. They've recently announced 11 lift zones in Knoxville. I think they're going to add a few more to that, where lift zones are places in the community where students can come, and students that aren't connected can come to these locations like Boys and Girls Club and be able to connect and do their homework, their distance learning. So we are doing it and we are committed to it. And not only are we doing it, we're going to do more moving forward.
Now, and just to make sure we've got the numbers straight, we've got a 7-year plan that costs between $450 million or $700 million, not clear yet, versus a 2-year plan that costs $21 million, $22 million, and that's a difference of 20x if things go right, or 33x if things go as they could. Okay. Well, now that we're talking about money, let's bring it over to Tom. Tom, Citizens Against Government Waste looks at the digital divide from a taxpayer's point of view. You also have conducted extensive research on municipal broadband networks. Can you explain what your research tells us about the plans here in Knoxville?
Citizens Against Government Waste has been looking at technology and telecom for many years. And we have issued numerous reports, including our most recent, The Folly of Government-Owned Networks. And we encourage everyone to go look at it on our website, caguw.org. And we also wrote about, of course, the Knoxville situation, one of many that we examine around the country. Overall, municipal broadband has been costly, unsuccessful, anti-competitive, and essentially doesn't work as expected. This project in particular is troublesome. We just talked about the cost versus the private sector alternative. Public-private partnerships are always better in these situations. Hundreds of millions of dollars, actually potentially tens of billions of dollars, have been included in the American Rescue Plan Act for broadband. Many states are using that to build out their systems. In Vermont, for example, money from the rescue plan is sufficient to cover everyone in the state. And so we see this all over the place. And Comcast, with their plan, is using some of that money appropriately because it is available and it can solve a lot of these problems. In a, again, bigger picture, broadband is not a utility. It is not regulated as a utility. And for the Knoxville Utility Board to call it essentially another extension of their utility is not accurate. Title I of the Telecommunications Act covers information services. That is the internet. Title II is telecommunications as a common carrier, meaning you're a phone company. Now, the FCC did briefly regulate the internet as a common carrier, but that's no longer the case. So that means just their whole concept that a utility company should provide broadband to everyone is flawed. That's simply not true, especially when internet service providers or ISPs are providing that service to, in most cities, more than 95 or 96% of the community. And in this case, apparently, that is not being served. Comcast is offered to do so, again, at a much lower cost with a combination of some public and private money. So the idea that the digital divide has to be, you know, solved by simply more taxpayer money is not the case. When a community looks at whether to provide a government-owned network, they need to do a lot of work. There are a lot of information in our report about what to do and how to do it. There's something called a policy maker toolkit. You have to look at the costs, risks, complexities with owning and operating a commercial broadband network, initial review, financing costs. Look, KUB alone, several years ago, said they shouldn't be doing this. There were two reports, I think maybe even three, 2013, 2016, 2018. They all said, we don't want to do this. Nothing's changed. In fact, broadband since then has become more available and less costly because the private sector has invested almost $1.8 trillion in providing internet access since the 1990s. So the capability is there with the private sector. We've looked at, for example, Bristol, Virginia, where in fact, some of the people went to jail over that project, Lafayette, Louisiana, Utopia in Utah. Provo, Utah. They sold their system for a dollar to Google because it simply wasn't working. So good examples. Again, they're available on our website, but this is just not the right way to do it. And one other quick thing, fiber to the home, which is one of many ways to provide service, is not the only way to reach people. There's TV white space. There's now 12G satellite. SpaceX is looking at that. Microsoft is doing TV white space. So our view has always been technology neutral. Whatever the best and most cost-effective way to reach people is the way it should be done. But building fiber to everyone when most people already have it simply doesn't make sense.
And can you spend a little more time explaining the business risk here? So what you're saying is that KUB customers could pay for a fiber network that is done in 7 years, assuming things go well. And at that point, there might be something else out there. Could you just sort of walk people through that a little bit?
Well, there was a October 2020 review of the effectiveness of government-owned networks by the Center for Growth and Opportunity at Utah State. And they found, and I'm quoting, research into public-owned networks presents a more nuanced picture than you get from public opinion. There's three lessons. Building the network is costly and risky. Broadband competition is complicated, but largely a product of local conditions like population density. And lastly, municipal broadband is often a popular investment politically, but the actual benefits to citizens are often mediocre because it's not just building, it's upgrading, improving service, more innovation. Right? This is not a broadband company. It's a utility company. So whether it's Comcast or Charter or AT&T or anyone else who is providing broadband, it's a competitive marketplace. Offers are all over the place. AT&T's, you know, ads, it says, oh, well, you know, either it's existing and new customers get the same deal. They're always trying to improve their service and the offerings. A utility company does not have that incentive. And if you're the only provider in the area and people are paying you, then that's great. But why should you make the service any better? There's nothing out there to push you forward to do that. And then, of course, the cost is never exactly what they say. It's always more, especially for those areas that are difficult to reach. And that's why you see more and more as time goes forward. Private companies are doing everything they can to reach those people with new and innovative ways that the FCC is now considering, like 12G being one of the latest.
One thing that comes through in your research on broadband and other odd topics is too is, one of the easiest ways for the government to waste money is when different levels of government are all trying to solve the same problem simultaneously in an uncoordinated way. So right now we have a bill before Congress, which would invest $65 billion to close the digital divide. There were grants during the American Rescue Plan. Could you walk through that a little bit too?
Right. Well, there was an auction last year. There's a Rural Development Opportunity Fund that the FCC is now sending money out for. There are also, which is, by the way, and I need to mention this, the speed, this, you know, 1 gigabyte speed that they're talking about, that is far above the level that is set as the minimum by the FCC, which is 25 download and 3 upload, which is how most people use the internet. Very few people use or need 1 gigabyte. It's in essence too much. And again, private companies are providing that so that if it's needed, it's there. But it also means that resources will be diverted from people who truly need this basic 25.3 megabytes of service just to get online, just to do basic things that they can't do now, like homework, which is a big issue. And that, when you're looking at what the White House has proposed, initially 100 billion, now it's down to 65. CAGW thinks even that is too much because the American Rescue Plan Act, $350 billion total for state and local governments, included the ability for that money to be used for broadband, which is exactly what's going on in Knoxville with the Comcast plan. The city has some money they can use that will combine with the private investment and other resources that are available now to build out the rest of the system to reach the unserved people. Again, fewer than 6,000. It makes no sense to spend between 450 and 700 million just to cover those people. They are overbuilding on top of existing providers. That's a huge problem with municipal broadband. It almost always goes over the top of what's already there. And lastly, whatever they do, they need to make sure they're using the right mapping. The FCC has gotten $98 million to make sure the maps are accurate to show exactly who is unserved and underserved. And that's another part of why this has to be done carefully and slowly. And I think any city council that does not consider a less expensive alternative is not doing the best that they can for the taxpayers locally.
Thanks, Tom. Appreciate it. We'll turn now to Cassandra Denton. Cassandra, could you tell us a little bit about your business, please?
Yes, I actually have two businesses. I have two daycare centers, one located on Border Street and the other one on Magnolia Avenue. Been in the child care business for at least 25 years. Kind of took a little hit there during COVID, but things are starting to pick up a little bit now. And my other business is Sensational Creations and Events. So I have also been doing weddings probably longer than I have been in childcare. Weddings, anniversaries, birthday parties, any type of an event. And so right before COVID, I started to open up and create and work on and open up an event center. And so, of course, when COVID hit, you know, I took a hit. But however, I am still working towards my dream because that is something that I truly love doing.
And tell us, like, what does the digital divide mean for you?
Well, I am in the child care and events business. I'm not in the technical business. So I'm not an expert on the digital divide. But however, I do understand that my business depends on reaching out to new customers. A business that's stuck in a digital divide has only one choice, and that would be to move someplace else.
And are you worried about increasing electricity costs and tax bills?
Well, I'm worried about all my costs. The economy is picking up again, but I need to be careful. There's a 9% increase that's going to take effect if this takes place with KUB. If there's an increase, then that the 9% increase anyway that KUB has told us about, but there could be some additional costs that we aren't even aware of as of yet.
So what do you think about the KUB plan in general?
Well, I don't see the point of raising my electrical rates to build a network that provides a service that I have already. Let's just focus on the people who don't have broadband coverage. I think that we need to connect with more of the businesses in the rural areas and help those families with low incomes be able to get online, especially those who have children in the homes who are needed for schools. I'm just going to stick with needed for school or maybe even college students who are taking online classes from the home.
Thank you very much. Yeah, we've done a lot of research on that at Business Forward. And, you know, everyone looked at it from a perspective of the pandemic and we need to help kids do their homework. What we see is we built these homework tools for kids. And, you know, as we go forward, as kids go back to school, that infrastructure is an amazing opportunity to help kids from low-income families compete with kids from high-income families to get the same kind of services kids from well-off families enjoy every day. So, you know, we think this is not the time to stop focusing on the homework app. This is not the time to stop focusing on the digital divide. But thank you very much. We're going to turn to Representative Martin Daniels next. And Representative Daniels, you know, you approach this from someone who served in the state legislature for years, but also someone who's run a business for more than 30. Please, if you could share what you're thinking.
Jim, one thing we constantly talked about in the legislature, especially in the last 10 years, is the need to be friendly and welcoming to businesses. And we do that in a variety of ways, but two of the primary ways that we do it, we wanted to encourage capital investment. and we want to enable and promote full employment. We want everyone who wants a job in Tennessee to have one. And at the legislature, we had a constant conversation about how we could do that. And the two primary ways that we would do that is that we would keep taxes and fees low, and we would keep regulations to a minimum. And I think we had a lot of success. The economic story of Tennessee is well known all over the nation. This same reasoning, low fees and low regulations, can apply to this issue, the issue of broadband accessibility. In this case, pole attachment fees constitute a large component of the cost to construct broadband facilities, especially in rural areas where a provider might have to attach to several poles in order to provide service to one resident. To promote access in Knoxville and Knox County, KUB should simply encourage broadband expansion by reducing pole attachment fees charged to the private broadband providers. This could be done, the larger reductions, the larger discounts could come in the first few years of the attachment, the new service to those residents. And I think this will go a long way in order to that encouraging the private broadband providers to build out those hard to reach areas that require a lot of capital investment. Another way that we could encourage broadband investment in these areas that don't have it now is to provide for a quicker permit process. For example, if a business wants to come to a certain area that does not have broadband access, the provider must apply for a permit. Often these can take 30, 60, 90 days to turn around. Let's shorten that process and make that a quicker permit process for the provider. And that'll help the person or the business seeking to have that broadband access.
Representative, the immediate cost for the KUB plan is higher electricity rates for everyone, including people who don't need another broadband service. But that's just part of the cost, isn't it? How else, given your experience in the legislature, how else could KUB customers and Knoxville area taxpayers be affected?
Well, of course, we had the issues regarding competition. I mean, KUB is not used to being in a competitive environment. They do a fine job in what they're doing in providing electrical service to the residents of Knoxville and Knox County. I'm concerned that if they engage in this broadband expansion, they're going to take their eyes off of that ball. They're going to divert resources to the broadband expansion, the broadband services, and the services concerning electricity and service to the electricity and water will suffer. And potentially residents of Knoxville and Knox County will see the negative impact of that.
You make an interesting point, which is the idea here, and the theory, you know, makes sense in a theoretical level. We're going to create more competition, which is supposed to lower costs and increase services. But what we're doing is we're going into a market that already has competition, and we're bringing an organization in that isn't used to competition to create competition. Well, so Representative, what can business leaders at today's briefing do to comment on the proposals we discussed today? What would you recommend as someone who's been on both sides, as a business leader and as a representative?
I think that we have to contact our city council people. We have to contact city council people as business owners and persons who are experienced in capital investment and expenses of operation. And we need to make our opinion known that this is not the best use of taxpayer ratepayer money.
Well, thank you very much, Representative. We appreciate that. We're close to the end of time. Do any of the other panelists, is there a point that you'd like to make that we didn't cover yet? If so, just unmute yourself and we'll try to go around and just make sure everyone gets a chance to make any closing remarks.
I think what the representative pointed out is exactly right, that this is a taxpayer issue. It's important that the local ratepayers and taxpayers let their views be known. Let the city council know how they feel, because otherwise, the loudest voice generally gets attention. And I think the utility board needs to know there are people out there who don't necessarily want to pay for something they may not use and already have.
And Jim, I just would add one more. If KUB does get in the business, there needs to be a real review to ensure that safeguards are in place, that it's a playing level field for all providers.
Well, thank you very much, Amy and Cassandra and Tom and Representative Daniels. We appreciate you joining us today. All of you watching, thank you for joining us. And before we go, I just, one of the panelists pointed out that if we were talking about some of the other risks about this, Knoxville will have to guarantee the bonds. This could put the financial stability of Knoxville at risk. If Knoxville is going to spend $700 million on a broadband network and that broadband network becomes expensive to maintain or becomes unprofitable because other technologies have emerged that, you know, disrupt the industry, then that's going to be on the taxpayers. So thank you very much for making that point. Again, if you're interested in getting involved, please let us know. Just email us at info@businessfwd.org. We really appreciate you joining us here today. Thank you.
Thank you, everyone, for joining us. For more information on Business Forward programming, visit businessfwd.org. The Business Forward podcast is a production of Business Forward, hosted by me, Jim Doyle, produced and engineered by Alexi Lippman and Alex Pastanen. Thanks for listening. See you next time.